When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No. Roderick. Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
It's opinions. I respect your opinions. Maybe in your opinion Messi is better than me, but in my mind I'm better than him. I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up. Matter what, told you I'ma do me. Why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Like scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm backed up. Keep it real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. Only buy a car, hard car, cars, take it tatted up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up. No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up, bankroll.
That intro tune, still a banger. Love it. Always gets me in the mood. Let's talk some football. I am welcome to Ace Podcast Nation. Ace Podcast Nation. I am
talking.
I know, innit? Show my age. Got to get those false teeth in, mate. This is the home of Roger Giggs and football. We're talking all things football for this week, including a very interesting week in the World Cup. It's been depressing. It's been entertaining. It's been surprising as well, so we're going to talk about that. But just as we wait for a few of the latecomers to turn up, let's do our Super 6 update for the week. Unfortunately for me, yeah, you're looking forward to it. As people who don't know, we're raising money through doing a Super 6 Prediction League. You can still join and have a go. Ex-KFC legend Lee Jarman tops this week, recording a score of 14 points. We also have another ex-Cardiff legend, Cohen Griffith, topping the overall league with 249 points. But it was a round to forget for myself and Rodri. We both only scored 6 points between us. But unfortunately, I only got two of those points. So now that has put an 8-point lead for myself for Rodri going into the next round, which is Saturday at 3 o'clock. So make sure you get your predictions in. We'll do ours at the end of the show. But there's so much to talk about, and we're trying to get done by sort of 10-ish. So we're going to jump straight in. I'm joined as ever by ex-Salford City, FC United.
Banger, sir.
Banger.
Aberystwyth.
Can you name them all off the top of your head? Like, boom.
Oh, man.
Every club you play
There's not been many.
Should give you a time limit, though, shouldn't
Salford.
I?
Bangor City, back to Salford. Where did I go then? I went to Baycup Borough.
Where's that?
My mate was assistant manager there. He was on the news actually today, Brent. Been the manager there for 25 years.
Was he?
Yeah,
where is
he? Driver, he's the chairman, he's the manager, he's the barman.
Does the lot.
Driver. He's a kit man. Yeah, he's a good boat, Brent. So I was playing against Mosley, and Mosley at the top of the league, and then I went there halfway through the season. We ended up winning that league, and then I stayed at Mosley for about 3 years. Last year we won the league again. Then I left. I went to FC United. Then went to Curzon Ashton. Then back to Salford. then back to FC United, and that was it. Oh, in between Salford, in between Salford was Bangor City and Aberystwyth. That was only like 6 months.
Just the way, mate.
It was a good experience, but the travelling was
brutal.
Yeah, well, because I'm from Manchester, you're travelling to. Right, here's one for you. We're travelling to Haverford West, right?
Yeah.
So we're meeting at Chester at 6:30 in the morning.
Right.
I'm living in Manchester, so I've got to get to Chester. So I'm up at 5:30. Get to Chester for 6:30. Get the coach. Get there about 12:30, 1:00. Pitch inspection. Game called off. So we get home for like 9:30 at night. We hadn't even played a game, and we had to go back there on a Tuesday night. No, I didn't go. I didn't play that night. I was injured.
I see. Come on, man. No dedication.
I was injured.
It was a friendly.
At the Tuesday night hamstring. Hamstring was tight.
Well, mate, I tell you, someone who wishes they had a hamstring injury today is Lukaku for Belgium. I think, mate, that was a horror game for him. And I think it's one that will stick with him for a while, because Lukaku of a few, you know, say 8-9 years ago, he eats those chances for breakfast, and Belgium cruise through easily. Like, he's going to be feeling that, I think, because Belgium are out, and deservedly so. They were poor.
Yeah, we say they were poor. They made chances, and it's an art to get chances. But, you know, at this level, you have to take them chances, because if you don't, you get punished. And they've been punished. They've really been poor, Belgium, really. Aging team, but still, it's an experienced team. So, it's no real excuse for me.
That quality that's in that team, mate, they should have walked that group.
Yeah, well, they just missed someone up top, and obviously Lukaku missing a few games and not being injured, fully fit. And you see that with them, the chances he missed. Yes, it's on his wrong side of his foot, but on his right, but he still should hit the target. He hit the post, come out. He was unlucky, but still should score. The one where, right at the end, where Lovren's missed the header, he's got to anticipate that. He's got to. And he doesn't, and it's his chest, and it's just one of them things that'll never leave him. He'll always think about it.
Yeah, so it's like a what if.
That's his punishment, I think.
Yeah, it's one of them what ifs. But like, for me, you know, the one at the end, I wonder if the two chances earlier, which he missed, kind of got in his head a bit, so he didn't.
You would hope not. You would hope not with the experience he's got. And at the age of him, and like I say, the experience, he's got to anticipate that. He's got to. And he's just flat-footed, and that's what happens. It's basic, you know, be on your toes, be ready. And he wasn't.
So, you look at the side, like they got Witzel, they got Dendonka, Mertens, Carrasco, De Bruyne, Trussard, Tillmans, you know, and then there's all sorts of players around on a bench. Hazard and
Courtois, like, Real Madrid
Batshuayi. There's just too much quality there for them to struggle through that group. And
as Eden Hazard, comes on like last 5 minutes. What's the point in that?
It's just it was painful. And look, as we'll talk about Wales in a minute, which was also painful. But like, when you compare the Belgium squad to the Wales squad, for instance, the quality, the difference.
Oh yeah, there's no comparison. Like,
yeah, that Belgium squad is full of players playing at the absolute top level, like Champions League, not just Champions League, but the best Champions League teams. And they should have done better. You can't not criticise them. They were poor. But then, look, Croatia deserved credit for the way they played today. I thought they defended pretty well. They played all right through the group. But Morocco deserved to win the group. They got the results when it mattered. And you don't win games by having a good team on paper. You win games by winning football matches. And at the end of the day, Canada were always going to struggle, and they are one of them teams which are happy to be there. They just, not a team you always see at the World Cup. They were happy to be there, and we kind of expect them to finish bottom of the group. But when you look at it, it's Belgium, Croatia, Morocco. Belgium have got to qualify from that three. Like, the Croatia team has got some older players in there. You've got, you know, Modric at the centre of midfield, who's, what, 38, I think. Is it time for Martinez to leave Belgium now? Like, to me,
He has left.
Is he?
Come on. You saying that? You see what I mean? This is pot calling the kettle black. You're saying, talking about research before we come on the show.
Well, I haven't seen.
He's already left the position straight after the game. He's walked.
Well, you're the expert. I'm just the host. Remember that.
But I do my research.
Well, in my opinion, he should have left when they lost to Wales in 2016. I thought he should have gone then.
Well, you say that, but they come third in the 2018 World Cup.
Yeah, but it's third, mate. They got this golden generation of players. Unbelievable squad of footballers. It's
another failure of golden generation. We have to be careful about this golden generation. How many world-class players have they got? Eden Hazard was world-class for a year. He's not been seen at Real Madrid. Kevin De Bruyne is a different player for Belgium. He is for Manchester City. Who else have they got? It's world-class. Please tell me. I'll wait. Lukaku, do me a fucking favour. He is not world class.
Right.
Who else?
But you're looking at it today. I'm on about he should have gone in 2016. In 2016, Hazard was tearing it up. De Bruyne was tearing it up.
But that was 6 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. He should have gone then to allow another manager to take that group of players to achieve what they potentially could have.
Well, he did. He got into third. You're saying that a better manager would have gone on and won the World Cup. They're not. What's world class? I've just got.
I think a better manager would have got them further in the World Cup. I really do, mate. I don't rate him at all. I don't rate him. I'm not convinced that he's like an elite level manager. I think he's a good manager, but I don't think he's up there with the likes of Pep, Mourinho, Klopp, whoever, you know, like these top class managers. I just don't see it from him. And I feel like a top class manager would have done more with that squad of players over the... Like, he's been there for years, mate. He's been in charge of that squad for years. And a better manager would have taken them further. Like, they shouldn't have lost to Wales, for instance, in that quarterfinal or whatever it was in 2016. They shouldn't have gone out of this group today. And, all right, you can say third, but I think...
Well, who's the highest paid manager in... In the World Cup, you know that? Because I've done my research.
I would guess that it's probably Gareth Southgate, mate. I would guess.
Well, no, he's the Germany manager, and he's just gone out. Is it really? Gareth Southgate's second.
No, that surprised me. Gareth Southgate's about to win a World Cup, mate. We'll discuss that in a minute.
But, you know, he's... And should he lose his job?
The Germany manager? Yeah, I think that's the
Even
second.
Even though it's a young team, it's... Well, name me some world class players Germany have got now. They haven't got.
I don't think they have. But Germany,
it's a young side. You still would expect them to qualify, but you know, it's the World Cup, and they haven't, and they're out. And same with Belgium, you don't perform, and Belgium haven't pulled up any trees. I don't think I've seen one game of Belgium this World Cup because. I switch over to a different game. I'll just turn off because it's boring.
Yeah, they've been dreadful. But like again, you say Germany, right? Let's look at this German group: Japan, Spain, Germany, Costa Rica. You cannot tell me that Spain and Germany shouldn't be the two going from that group. Now, if Germany got a young group of players, whatever, like they went out at the group stage of the last tournament as well. So,
no, but it's 20 minutes from time, they're both going out.
Yeah, can you imagine? Spain, Germany, and Belgium all out at the same day. That would have been interesting. And look, by the way, Japan deserved to win that group. Same as Morocco did. Japan deserved to win that group, and that's why they won it. Germany, I thought, Germany played quite well today in very small patches, like 5-10 minutes, they'd be good. Then they would they took their foot off the gas at the wrong times, in the wrong games, and they got caught for it. How young is their squad, the Germany squad? Let's have a quick look. Let's have a look at their lineups. Because I do agree with you on is that Germany haven't got world class players, whereas Belgium I think have, which is why I think they've failed.
Yeah, but who?
Didn't you say that?
2016, Eden Hazard can't get a kick for Real Madrid.
Well, hang on, people keep telling me De Bruyne is the best, one of the best footballers in the world.
He's a totally different player for I totally agree with you. He's not the best player in the world. I'm not having any, whatever anyone says. He's not. I've not seen him in this World Cup. But if you see it, if you watch the games, they've not played him the right way. Sometimes you don't see him for 10 minutes. It's everything's surely got to go through him. And it didn't. And that's why they're out.
So I look at this Germany side. You were right. There's a lot of young players in it. So I think you've got to allow for that. They've got quite a few, what I would call, not quite world-class or, you know, top level players, but they've got some, you know, like Gundogan from Man City, these types of players. They play week in, week out for big clubs in the Champions League. Gnabry, Sane, Muller, Havertz. You know, they all play for big clubs, mate. Goetze.
Just going to play for big clubs, doesn't mean they're good footballers. Havertz, crap. You can't get a goal
for Chelsea. We talked about him.
He's done well tonight. It doesn't matter. They're out now. And he's scored about 3 or 4 goals for Chelsea.
He's probably scored more in this World Cup than he scored for Chelsea in this season.
Yeah, so it's okay to say and play for big clubs. No.
But they should have got out of that group, surely.
Yes, but if they performed, and they haven't. They got beat off Japan in the first game. It's all about the start. You have to get a good start. You have to be a really good team of a player like Messi in your team. Or, to be fair, Argentina are really good teams. You've seen that yesterday. Poland couldn't get out of the half the last 30 minutes. Where in the first game, they're a totally different team. So, but you would expect to build into it, but not lose your first game. Yes, if you don't play well, okay, but don't lose the first game. Because when it's 3 games, then you're under pressure. And it's the World Cup. There's no mugs. There's no mugs at all. We've seen these games. All of them have come close. You know, USA got a very good draw against England. We draw against USA. Iran beat her at USA. There's good teams. There's good teams. Yeah. I think USA are going to beat Netherlands. I think they'll beat Netherlands. It'll surprise them. Because Netherlands ain't all that. What world-class players have they got?
Again, young squad, young squad of good players, but have they got those game changers?
Probably De Jong's decent, Depay's decent, but Daily Blind, it must be 35, 30 odd. So, they've got some weaknesses as well. You've got to look at France, Brazil, England, these people with quality and depth.
Yeah.
Real quality and depth. The only problem England have got weakness. They've got weaknesses at the back. You know, if you get at them, can you get that? But have they got the antidote with Kyle Walker for someone like Mbappe? Probably so. But
in terms of depth, mate, I just look at Brazil and I look at England and I think if England are ever going to win the World Cup in my lifetime, I think this is a real good chance for them. You've had some big clubs go out, big teams go out. Yes, of course, there's still some very good teams left. But I just think they've got a good chance. They've got experience in tournament football. You know, they got to the semi-finals and the finals recently. Southgate, they all play for Southgate.
You'd see that with France as well. But because of the top players they're missing out, they're missing on that depth for now. Look at how well they've done. And that's not probably their full team who they would play with. Pogba would play. Kante would play. Benzema would play. So... Yeah. No, there's three top players and they've brought in players, but obviously you've seen it. The players that they've got in reserve now can't beat Tunisia and get beat off Tunisia. So, you know, they haven't got that depth and quality where I think England and Brazil have. But in defence, they both haven't got that depth. So if it's got an injury here, an injury there at the back, then, you know, they may struggle. Yeah. Because they aren't strong there anyway.
Yeah, and we'll talk about England. Like Ben White's obviously got home in just a sec. But I'll just quickly fly through the groups which have been settled. So you had Group A, you had Netherlands and Senegal go through. I think that was kind of what we predicted beforehand, really. I think Ecuador did very well in a couple of games. They just couldn't quite get over the line results-wise. Netherlands, I think, is a good team. They're very organized and can kind of, you know, it's a Louis van Gaal side, isn't it? So they play very patient football, but they're very organized and very structured. They've got some good young players. I think that Gakpo is very, very good. And I fully expect to see him playing for United by the summer, in some either in January or the summer. I think he's probably the one they'll go for. Senegal, you know, they miss Mane so much, which is why I think they'll probably go out at the next round.
They won't be no pushover.
No, absolutely not.
It wouldn't surprise you if that went all the way and went to penalties, or England sneak it in extra time. But
they miss Mane, don't they? He's their talisman.
They do, but they're still... No, they're athletic, they're strong, they're all Premier League players, so they're all good players. And sometimes with these teams, when they get together, they've played a long time, but it'll be difficult for him. It'll be really difficult, and England should win really comfortably.
All these teams, they want it against England, don't they? They turn up against England, and we've seen in previous years, if England aren't switched on and aren't with it, they're capable of going out. You know, they lost to Iceland, they've lost to other teams over the years when they haven't been switched on. In Group B, England won the group as probably expected. USA second, Iran third, Wales bottom of the group. Let's talk about Wales from a Welsh perspective. We're both proud Welshmen. Very, very disappointing. Let's get one thing out of the way. Very proud, very happy to be at a World Cup. I never thought I'd see it. Never thought I'd see Wales at a World Cup in my lifetime. So from that point of view, loved it. However...
You are getting on, though.
I am getting on, and this is it. But you'll always be older, which is obviously something that we should make very clear. But, like, there is two sides to it. Like, I'm so happy that we got there, blah, blah, blah. Of course. And Gareth Bale, Aaron Ramsey, these guys, Joe Allen, they're Welsh footballing legends, will be remembered forever for what they've achieved with Welsh football. They've been the driving force between making us nearly qualify for tournaments to qualifying for three back-to-back. But let's be, we're a football podcast, so you've got to talk about what you saw on the pitch. Wales were poor. We didn't turn up. I could count the players who came out with real credit for their performances on one hand. Unfortunately, it looked like maybe it was a tournament too far for a couple. And I don't like to say that. And I don't want to be like, I've seen some ridiculous posts on social media, as you always do. Like, I don't want to be super critical. I thought Robert Page made some mistakes. But that group, I think in hindsight, that is probably the group of death, mate, because I thought Iran showed what they were capable of against us, even though we weren't very good. I thought USA really showed that they have progressed now over the years. And obviously we know what England are. So I made the mistake of thinking on paper, Wales should beat Iran coming into the tournament. I said we should beat Iran and we should beat USA. So we should go into that England game with at least 4 points. We didn't. And yes, Wales didn't turn up. Wales weren't good enough. But also, I think it was down to Iran and America being probably better than I expected. But what did you think of Wales overall?
I pretty much disagree with that. With saying that Iran did play well, but Wales didn't offer anything.
No.
We didn't offer anything. So it's quite easy to play well if the team you're playing against is just giving you nothing back. They were poor, really poor. Poor at half time for 45 minutes against USA, but then turned it round and got the draw. And that ended up like a pretty good result in the end. Because they ended up going drawing against, but the Iran game was the one. It was a shocker. It was a shock,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a shock. So even then, you've got a chance. You've got something to hold on to, but it wasn't even a game. And then for him to score late on, you know, the mistake by Joe Allen to the clearance, could have took a touch, could have a bit more composure, but, you know, with more games, you would have probably got that. But, you know, you can't really... and you can't really fault them. You know, it's been eight days and they've gone home. So they'll have to live with that because they know they've not performed and they were the people that could do that. Yes, they've got us there and they've experienced it and hopefully they'll experience it again because, you know, it was a poor showing all around. But, you know, like I say, we've got to World Cup and we've got to see Wales in the World Cup.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to remember Wales were the second smallest nation at the World Cup behind Qatar. So obviously we have a small amount of players to pick from and whatnot. There is, of course, that. But I don't like to use that as an excuse.
We're still Premier League players.
Yeah, of course they are. And look, I'd like for you, I'm interested if you name the same players that I think sort of come out with, like, made their...
Oh, I can name probably two.
Who do you think did well for Wales?
I'd say Ethan Ampadu and Nico Williams.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I thought Ben Davis was good until the England game. I thought he struggled, but I think he picked up an injury. I thought he was one of the better defenders, but you know he wasn't up to his standards. I was a bit disappointed with, like, you've got the lad from Bournemouth, who's had a really good Premier League season this year, been playing every week, been excellent for Bournemouth, and just wasn't quite at it in defence. We struggled in midfield. Ampadu was overrun constantly, and he still did a really, you know, he still came out with a lot of credit. I thought he was very good. And for the future, like him with someone else will be a good Welsh midfield. Here's a question for you then, mate. Do Wales need to move on from Bale and Ramsey specifically?
I think they need to move on from one of them, and I'd be declining. I'd probably say Ramsey. He just doesn't give you anything.
He's the one who hasn't played at all, isn't it? Like obviously Bale.
I can understand what they're doing. They're just going through the motions. It's a World Cup. They're injury prone. So they're on autopilot because they want to play in the World Cup with Wales. So with that, they've not played many games. I'm pretty sure you'll see them go back full on until they get injured again after the World Cup. But or they'll probably go back to the clubs injured again. But no, they've both been like it all through the careers. Injured, never gone for a full season. Like a 45, 50 matches. Yeah. Just bodies can't do it.
Yeah, and I think...
35, even 40. But maybe for Gareth Bale when he was younger. But yeah, it's just it's a shame. It's a shame, but you know, some bodies are like that. Some people just can't withhold the pressure of it.
Yeah, I think Ramsey's broken leg changed the direction of his career, I think. In terms of his injury, because he never seemed to quite get over it. In terms of ever since he broke his leg, he constantly had those niggling injuries. Whereas before that leg break, like I remember him playing for Cardiff, playing all season, you know, playing like 35 days.
Yeah, that's right. When the younger mate, they can do it when the youngest. Look at, you know, a lot of people had that injury, but look at Luke Shaw.
Yeah, I know, I understand.
He's heavy. It's just.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Because
some of them might be 80%, but say, oh no, I'm still not right. Where, you know, if you're 60% and you can go out, play. Do you think that 60% is going to be enough? Well, obviously not.
When you look at the Welsh bench and you look at that Iran game, what would you have done? So if you were picking the starting lineup with a bit of hindsight as well, like, what would you have done differently with this in terms of selection and you know, stuff like that, just with regards to that, you know, that Iran game was the one that we needed to win. You had the midday heat as well, which I think doesn't help aging players. So you want the younger guys.
You go 4-3-3. 4-3-3. Get James off. Get him off. He's had his chance and he was crap. Give Brendan Johnson a proper chance. Start him off. Kiefer Moore, Bale, and Brendan Johnson on the left or on the right.
And then who would your midfield three have been? Obviously, because you said about Ramsey, would you have played him in front of the two?
Yes, you'd play him, but you know, if he's playing like that, I would have brought him off way before. I'm not waiting. This is what the difference. This is where you've got to be paid for the big bucks. You've got to make them decisions, and you're gonna upset someone, but so what? It's for the good of the team and for the country. Forget your ego. So you've got 35 minutes, you've had 60, 55 minutes to perform, you've not done a tap. Sit there and watch the game and bring someone with a bit more energy. Because to carry two of them, you just can't, not this level, you can't. And Ramsey was a non-entity. He was crap. He was rubbish. So, and this is what happens when you've gone through the motions to just get yourself to the World Cup and you're not proper match fit.
Yeah, and I think that's it, isn't it? They've got themselves fit enough to play, but they haven't been, like I mentioned Meepham at Bournemouth, but he was fit because he's been playing week in, week out for Bournemouth. Ramsey's played two games for Nice. Bale has played most of his games off the bench. And look, I'm glad they've got there, and I'm glad they, you know, we would have wanted them in the squad. And
if it weren't for them, we wouldn't have got there.
No,
so.
Of course. And
you
I
have
just
to
think
play him.
Because it was a bridge too far, wasn't it?
You'll get crucified.
Yeah.
And they've earned you that right. But when you've not done anything for 55, 60 minutes, you have to change it. And for me, Ramsey would have the one to come off. You've got to keep Gareth Bale on if he's fit. But then you've still got to save yourself from him and try and bring him off to save him for the next game. But you've got to get that result first. And they didn't.
I felt like there was an opportunity in the Iran game when it was 0-0 before Hennessy got sent off. You could have taken Ramsey off and got in somebody, one of the youngsters, mate, just someone who's going to go in there with no
fear.
You've
got to look at it after half time, give it 15 minutes, and if it's not changed, and it didn't change, you could see that. So the only way it's going to change is you making the change by doing the managerial decision and changing it and changing the direction, the flow of the game. He didn't do that.
Is it because we had too many youngsters in the squad? So we had, Reuben Corwell, Mark Harris.
What are they there for?
Exactly. Well, this is my point. If they're there, they should be, like, to me, when we knew he should have come off, we should have said, right, one of you boys have got to go on, get on the ball.
I'm not, age, in my mind, age doesn't come into it.
I agree. But Reuben Corwell's been to two tournaments now, and I think he got a couple of minutes against England. But like if you're going to take these players, you've got to use them. And I just felt that Iran game, before Hennessy's got sent off and the game's changed, there was an opportunity at halftime or early in the second half to change the game with pace, energy, everything which we didn't have. And that's where I think Robert Page made a mistake.
That's where tactically, you know, at the highest level, he's not played or managed. So, you know, that was and he's probably just inexperienced. He'll learn from it. It's all you can do is learn from these losses. That's all you do. The mistakes and things that happen. It's all a learning process, and you'll be a better manager from it.
So last thing on Wales, mate, I've seen a few people on social media, on radio and stuff like that, saying that Robert Page shouldn't have been given like a 4-year contract or whatever he got, and that the FA should look at it and he shouldn't be the man to take him forward now. Do you go down with that because he made a couple of mistakes, or do you go with he's had two tournaments now, he's building, he's got young players coming through, he is the man to take us forward because he's got that experience to learn from?
Yeah, he's earned the right. And like I say, he's a young and growing manager, and he's just come in the job. Yes, he's had a bad couple of weeks, but you know that can happen in football. Hopefully he's learned from the mistakes. And we'll take it from there. But we've got a good young squad. But he's got to
use those young players, haven't he? He can't. Yeah. Like, to me, he's the right man. I believe he's the right man to keep taking us forward. If he doesn't make the same mistakes that he's just made in that game, particularly in the Iran game, if he goes and does that in the next qualifiers in March, then we've got a bit of a problem, I think. because then he hasn't learned.
You've just got to identify. I remember when Ryan come in, he had to get rid of the aging players and start blooding the youth players in. And you've just got to identify when it's the right time and know when it's the right time and just do it. Mm-hmm. Yes, they'll still be on the bench and they'll still be a part.
Yeah, if they absolutely want to be.
But you just got to know when the right time is, and you know, by the looks of it, it's not far away.
Yeah, but I think ultimately, we'd never expected to see Wales at a tournament. It was good. It was good to be there, and I hate that. Like, oh, we're just there to take part. It's not. I wanted to compete. I wanted to get out of the group. I thought we should have been.
I thought
I would be good enough.
And because they've set such a high bar.
Yeah, man.
High bar, you know, expectations are up there. You know, we got to the quarterfinals or semifinals, the Euros, or you know, we
got out with a group at the last ones.
USA, Iran, England. Oh, it's not really a strong, but in the rankings it is. But you'd still expect them. Even the teams that we'd beat. You know, you'd expect Ukraine to beat both of them teams. We beat Ukraine comfortably. We're not comfortable, but we beat Ukraine. We beat some teams along the way that had beat Iran and USA, which didn't perform. And that's the short and curlies of it. England was always going to be tough, but it was the first two games and we just didn't perform. And ultimately, it's a ride home and I get all the messages and, you know, bit had the mick take out being up here. But
yeah, we all get that, mate. I mean,
I've got big shoulders. It's all good fun. Just waiting, just waiting for England to get knocked out.
Let me ask you about that.
I've got a long memory.
We've said all along since when we did the preview of the tournament and stuff, we said England on paper should be getting to the final, should be pushing for the title because their squad is so deep and so full of quality, they should be. They've had a bit of an up and down tournament so far. Like Iran,
when they beat Senegal, do you know?
Gotta get past them, mate.
Who's they played? You know, is it the next one down? Let me show you. Is it like because they're Group A?
England plays Senegal and USA.
Is that how it works? Like So the winners of Argentina and Poland, they'll play one of them two.
Yeah, that's who they play in the next round, I believe.
No, France play Poland, don't they? Argentina play Australia.
Okay.
So they play the winners of one of them two, don't they?
Yeah, they've got to.
They're going to play France or Argentina anyway, in the quarters.
Absolutely, mate. It's going to be real difficult for him. Do you think
if that's the way it works? Sorry, mate. Go on.
Do you think in a week or two's time, when the tournament's all done and dusted, there's any chance England come out of it as World Cup winners?
Is there a chance?
Yeah,
100%. Is there a chance? Yeah. Look at the quality they've got, mate. They've got that they can bring off from the bench, that they can change a game in a whole different load of ways. Each side of the left or right, they've got multiple options. Midfield, multiple options. Wing backs, multiple options. So only the centre half, the only centre halves and centre forwards that you would question. But still, the Premier League, good players.
What's success and what's failure for England from here?
Failure's not getting to the final.
Even though they've got to play a France and an Argentina along the way.
Yeah, you've got to beat these teams to win the World Cup. You know, you do play scrubs all the way through. It doesn't work like this. This is the World Cup. World Cup tournament, and not the dog and duck.
In fairness,
the Cyprus League. Just if Stel, shout out to Stella of Stars, watch. It's not the Cyprus League. It's the dog and duck league. This is the World Cup. This is why the Cyprus League's still going on because they didn't make it.
The like, in fairness to Southgate, with each tournament, he's got better. Like, they've progressed and they got one bit further. So technically, if he keeps to that form, they'll go on and win it this time. To me, I think the World Cup is so much harder to win than the Euros. Like, because the Euros, I think, there's just a difference in quality. Like, Brazil, Argentina, they particularly Brazil, I think. But even, you know, we talk about Brazil's depth, mate. I think Argentina have got pretty good depth. Like, they're able to leave out.
Who would they play, though? It's interesting. Does anyone know that, who's watching? Who would England play if they won?
If they beat Senegal.
Because you'd rather play France than Argentina. Because it works out better for them, for Giroud playing, because Maguire can deal with him. He's not pacey. He's good in the air, so Maguire can deal with him. The left wing with Mbappe, I think Kyle Walker could deal with him. Yes, it's still going to be difficult, but pace-wise, they probably match stride for stride. And they've probably got better quality on the wide areas, England.
Yeah, I think...
Mind you, they've got Dembele and Mbappe, haven't they? Who would you rather have, Mbappe or Dembele? Mind you, you've got Foden, Saka, Rashford, Sterling.
The one thing I think England have got is they've got players hitting form at the right time. Like, Rashford looks bang in form for United, and then he's taken
this
that...
Well, I think you can mess around with Sterling and leave Foden out.
Yeah, well, I think even Foden played against, you know,
Foden, but leave Mount out, sorry.
Yeah,
play Foden on the, you know, so he's going to play Rashford. He's got to play Rashford, right? So the team is a team. Pickford, obviously, back four names itself: Shaw, Stones, Maguire, Walker, Bellingham, Jordan, Henderson.
Really?
And Declan Rice.
Jordan Henderson.
You need him in there for that organisation, that glue. And yes, people are pulled, but you need them boring players who are going to be organised, who are going to play it sideways, but good energy, experience. So him. Who else would you play in there?
Declan Rice as a holder. And Bellingham.
Sorry. Declan Rice, Jordan, Bellingham, and Sterling.
You said this the other day about Sterling playing deeper.
Yeah, as a number 10. Then you've got Rashford on the right, Saka on the left, Kane up front.
Yeah, that's fair. So I just looked. I've just brought up England's roots. It's not hard to find in the media. England, plan their route to the World Cup. If they get past Senegal, they play the winner of France and Poland. Were they to reach the semi-finals, they would feature then Morocco, Spain, Portugal, or Switzerland would be their four teams. So really, mate, I got to say,
Spain, Portugal,
and Switzerland. Is their provisional opponent. Like, if they were to get past France or Poland.
Imagine Portugal playing England in the semi-final, Ronaldo versus Maguire. That would be a banter, that.
Yeah, mate, it would.
Maguire, but absolutely volume. 100%.
Yeah, he'd definitely go through him, mate, wouldn't he? But do you know what, mate, right? I look at that and I think England should beat Senegal. They should, but it'll be difficult. Then, obviously, France or Poland is... France are very, very good. But like you say, you'd fancy Maguire versus Giroud rather than Maguire versus Messi or Dybala or all these other players.
And you'd fancy, Dembele, against not many Kyle people Walker get change out of Luke Shaw.
Yeah. And then after that, though, the four teams which they could play after that is Morocco, which you'd expect them to be, Spain. Is Spain, but then Spain have shown tonight.
But you'd still expect them to beat.
Yeah,
I think Spain of old.
No, I think you should expect England to beat
Morata
Spain.
Up front.
Yeah. Portugal, you've got an aging Ronaldo. Yes, they've got some quality
players behind them. Portugal, some decent players.
Switzerland. You'd expect England to beat Switzerland.
You would still expect to beat. The only one problem that you probably got output is probably Portugal.
So that's what I mean. Like when Portugal, you look at their route to the final, they'd have to play France and potentially Portugal. But outside of that,
so potentially it could be an England-Brazil final then.
Yeah, I think it works out. England could be England, Brazil, England, Argentina. Who's the other ones? Who's on the other side? Holland, Argentina, Japan, Brazil. Yeah, so that's the other side. Wow, so let's look at that side of the draw. You've got Holland versus USA, Argentina versus Australia, Japan versus Croatia, and Brazil versus Ghana, potentially.
Who do USA play if they beat Holland?
So let's have a look. It'll be... trying to work it out, sorry. I think it's the winner of Argentina and Australia, I think.
They're my dark horse. After watching them, they're my dark horses, USA. USA! USA!
George Weah's son, mate. What a player. I really like him. I think he'll be over in...
I think
he'll
finish as well, but he was offside, but yeah. I think that
he'll be in Europe.
His energy is just going to fall short, but I fancy him against Holland.
Yeah, I could go with that.
Oh, it gets exciting now in the knockouts, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's wicked, mate. I love it. That's what I really do buy in, like, love the World Cups and the Euros. Like, the knockout stages is beautiful.
There's one every game, isn't there?
Well, mate, we've seen some shocks already. Like, Japan again tonight. So why should we write Japan off, you know? They've had two great results in their fixtures. So they deserve to be in that knockout stage. Why can't they go and cause another shock? Why can't a Morocco go and get a result? Like, it's fascinating, mate, because there's been no whipping boy. Like, I know you had that one result, the England-Iran result, but Iran sort of came back from that a little bit. There's no whipping boys in this tournament at all, and certainly not in the group stages. Like, yeah, on paper, some people might be thinking, oh, Morocco have got through or Japan have got through. These teams are going to be easy for the top teams to beat. But they'll set up in a way. They'll try to be difficult to score against and they'll try and hit them on the break. And I'll tell you who else I think could do quite well, might sneak through the next round, is Australia. Just because...
Argentina?
Yeah, on penalties, mate. Every time. Is that who they're playing?
Well, Saturday, that, you know.
Jesus, it's going on quick, that is, mate, isn't it?
Yeah,
so tomorrow,
Holland, USA, 3 o'clock Saturday, and 7 o'clock Argentina, Australia.
Should we do a watch along for the Argentina, Australia game, mate?
We could do, yeah.
And then me and you watch the UFC after. Boom, what a night!
All this Saturday, mean, yeah, could do, yeah, because it's Paddy the Baddy, isn't it?
Yeah. No, that's not this week.
That's
next week, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
I don't know if it's this week or next week. I think it's the week after. But
it's this week.
Way,
it's this week. Oh, no, next week. Yeah, next week.
But, yeah, if you want to do a watch-along, mate, you're going to have for doing the Australia-Argentina watch.
This weekend, then? Oh, it's Fedora, isn't it? Tyson Fury.
Yes, it is. So just before we have a look at the fixtures for tomorrow's World Cup game, Fury or Chisora? Has Chisora got any chance?
What?
Chisora got any chance against Fury?
He's got more chance of plaiting shit.
Yeah, I don't think it comes to something when Tyson Fury is trying to sell it.
Oh, he's in a better place this time. He wasn't in a good place last time. He's experienced it now, so he's going to go head on. You mean he's going to go head on and get knocked fuck out after about three rounds and get paid £2 million? Nice one.
Yeah, I think it's a problem when the champion or the favourite fighter's got to try and tell the public that his opponent's good enough to fight him. So, yeah, there's a problem for me.
He goes down in the third or the fourth.
Yeah, I think it'll be done and dusted by the fourth. So tomorrow, Group G at 3 o'clock, Group H, got Ghana versus Uruguay and South Korea versus Portugal.
Portugal through though, aren't they? South Korea out.
I think
that's on the other game, isn't it?
Group A. Portugal are through. South Korea and Uruguay can go through if Ghana lose and they win, basically. So I mean,
really, why was Son crying the other day then?
Who knows, mate? So like, but they're playing Portugal, so unless Portugal rest a load of players, which they could do,
which they will do.
Yeah,
Ronaldo's not going to play, is he?
Well, he's chasing the record, isn't he? He's chasing Eusebio's record, so they might play him. Portugal, South Korea, and Uruguay versus Ghana. So if Uruguay, any of the other three can go through in second place if they win.
If they win, Uruguay playing Portugal.
Portugal.
And if Uruguay...
So whoever, basically, any of those three teams win, they go up, they'll finish second.
Oh, okay.
So Uruguay are banging it. You know, they've got
some good football. Not necessarily, because if they're only one goal behind Uruguay, surely it goes on goal difference, no? And even if Ghana draw, mind you, if they draw, they're on back goal difference. Yeah, it depends how it works out. It could be a 1-0 and you're going off them yellow cards again. That was a bug, wasn't it? How are you going through it? No, this is a buzz.
They draw lots, mate. If they all draw.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, bro. That is, I'm telling you. Draw lots to go through the World Cup.
We've got to the World Cup. Yeah. Let's draw a lot. Your name's in. Hey.
Just terrible.
Yeah. Absolute tin pot.
It is. That is embarrassing. And then Group G is Brazil, Switzerland, Cameroon, Serbia. Looks like same in that group. Any of the Brazil are through, but Switzerland, Cameroon, and Serbia could all go through if they pick up a win. And you've got Cameroon playing Brazil and Serbia playing Switzerland. So, you know, Switzerland must be pretty confident. They're on 3 points. They only need a point against Serbia. But Serbia made a bit of a comeback, didn't they, the other day? So who do you see going through from that group with Brazil? I fancy Serbia, you know, mate. I think Serbia will beat Switzerland and go through. That's my prediction.
I think Switzerland.
Ooh, so I think Serbia, you think Switzerland's interesting. Yeah. And then let's have a look at the old Super Six for Saturday. Do our predictions to finish us off.
Well, I don't like doing this. You started copying me.
Mate, the last thing I would do is copy you. I know, I saw how you bottled it last year. When the pressure was on, you went to pieces. Well, you made, look, I don't want to be mean to you, like, you know, because I'm a nice guy. But the end of the season, when the pressure was really on, you just...
No, that was a void last year. You started way before me. Shit. So this is where we've both started equally. And we're seeing the results. Mind the gap, Si.
Mate, 8 points to make that up in a week. We'll have a look at some UFC now. So I'm trying to find the flipping Super Six fixtures. They're not up yet, so we can't look at them yet because they're still live scoring from today, supposedly. They haven't updated it, so I can't play the next round yet. Right, we'll have to do that. Well, we can't do the predictions because they're not up yet. So let's have a look at it.
They're still up tonight, isn't it?
So let's have a look at the UFC for the weekend. Why not? We can do what we want, mate. This weekend, we got Stephen Thompson, Wonderboy, versus Kevin Holland. That's not particularly exciting. I mean, it'll be all right, I suppose. Jack Hermanson's fighting Derek Brunson. Eric Anders is fighting. So there's a Taito Avassa's fighting, actually, against Sergei Pavlovich. So that'll
is be that the drinks beer out of the shoe?
Out of his shoe, yeah. The shoey, right. Mate. The shoey.
Right.
But he's always an exciting fight, at least. And yeah, there's a couple of good guys on the prelims. And some good fights, but no real big names this weekend.
Nothing to stay up for.
Nothing to watch live. It's all stuff you'd watch the next day. However, UFC 282 the following Sunday the 11th of December, co-main evented by Paddy the Baddy. It's going to be absolutely electric, mate. And I will be definitely staying up for that. You also got Darren Till fighting on that as well. And the main event of Jan Blatsevich versus Makhmed Ankalov. So there's all sorts of fights on that. That card is jacked. Like, there's so many fights on that card because that's a full-on pay-per-view.
It's in Vegas, that one as well, isn't it?
It's in Vegas, yeah. So you're going to have to stay up late to watch that one, mate. But I'll stay up for that because Darren Till and Paddy the Baddy are fighting. Plus, Bryce Mitchell as well. I like fighting that game. So,
oh, yeah, he's all right.
Watch them, mate. Watch them.
Sweet.
Right. Brazil's going through. Oh, that's what I wanted to finish on, mate. Last night was the memorial game for Peter Whitnam. It's been a long time coming. It's way, way overdue. And I've criticised Cardiff for that before. I don't want to talk about that at the moment. I want to talk about Peter Whitnam. I saw a lot of like messages and memories from his teammates and stuff, from fans. Like, such a sad story that happened. Absolute Cardiff City, bona fide Cardiff City legend. He gave me some of the greatest memories as a Cardiff fan. Like that goal, the free kick he scored against Leicester from like out on the right wing in like the playoff semi-final, and he just caught the keeper sleeping. Not many players can do that. Like, they can think about doing it, but they just can't pull it off. Like, to have the speed of thought to do it, but then to also execute it in a high-pressure situation. And by all accounts, an absolute diamond of a fella. It's just a really sad thing. And obviously, send the best wishes to his family, his friends, his former teammates and whatnot. And it's just one of them sad things which life throws at you. But what a footballer. And I hope... I wanted Cardiff City to retire the number 7 shirt, to be honest, because I felt I don't like the retiring of shirts like they did for Jude Bellingham when he left Birmingham, which I thought was a bit embarrassing. But I thought, actually, if Cardiff was to retire the number 7 shirt, it would be a very fitting, permanent tribute to someone who gave absolutely years and years to the football club and to the fans. And absolute quality footballer, mate, as well.
No, yeah, shame. And at least they got it done now. Hopefully it all went very well.
Yeah, unfortunately, because of the timing of it, it's in the World Cup, it was midweek, and I don't think there was as many people there who would have been there, because a lot of people were travelling back from Qatar from watching the Wales-England game, and it's just the way that it fell because of, you know, the World Cup being on when it's on and stuff like that. But
yeah,
look, he's a man who deserves a tribute. Peter Whitnam is most definitely one. And I'm glad that he was able to get that send off, you know, like a proper send off. Indeed, rest in peace and good best wishes to his friends and family. We'll be back next Thursday, but we're also going to be back on Saturday doing a watch along for Argentina and who is it, mate? Australia. Argentina, Australia. Saturday night live. We'll have a chat. We'll just chill out, mate, and we'll just we'll have a chat with the people and watch the foosball. Who's going to win the World Cup, mate? In one word.
Brazil, England.
No, I said who's going to win it.
I am...
Brazil!
Brazil, yeah. I'm not going to say England, I'm Brazil.
It's not coming home, mate, is it? Not coming home?
Fucking hope not.
Ooh, Paddy the Baddy. Ooh, Paddy the Baddy. Ooh, Paddy.
Sports Social Podcast Network.